Testament book this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. 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 In the book of Deuteronomy, we will begin at the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And this word, Deuteronomy, is my understanding that it means the law the second time. So it's a repeating of what God had given to Israel in the time of Israel. And you know, oftentimes we need things to be repeated and rehearsed to us in our minds, because there's a tendency to forget certain things. And we may not do it intentionally, but there's so much going on in our lives that sometimes we even forget important things. And we need to be reminded. One of the wonderful things about Scripture, and it is my earnest desire that we all be students of the Word of God. Please don't take for granted what you hear and just take it at that, but go back and search the Word. Go back and see that it lines up, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen? So we need you. I'm encouraging each of us to be students of the Word. That's very, very important, especially in the day and time that we're living in, because there's a lot of things that are going on, and we need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will abide forever. Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Now, in this particular setting in Deuteronomy, there was a time in the history of Israel when God, as we know, he rose up Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. And we know what Pharaoh did and how ultimately, after he saw the power of God manifested in sending death to all the land of Egypt, the firstborn that were not covered by the blood, Pharaoh said, all right, y'all can go, paraphrasing. And God brought about a great deliverance to the children of Israel. And they were okay for a while, but then their humanness took over. And they told Moses, how come God just talks to you? How come he don't talk to us? And so Moses said, all right. And God said, all right, bring them to me. So here we see the setting. They're at Mount Horeb. And God said, all right, I want you to bring them to me. And they want to talk to me. I'm going to talk to them. But when they heard the voice of God talking to them, when they saw just an inkling of his power and authority and sovereignty, they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Moses, you go talk to God. No. You, Deuteronomy chapter 5. So I'm bringing us there. Look at verse 22 here in the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. It says, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he spoke not again, added no more. He wrote them on two tables of stone and gave them to me. It's Moses, right? Verse 23, and when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have this day seen that God speaks with man, and man still lives. Verse 25, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, we shall die. You see that? Verse 26, for who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and lived? Go near, Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. So they're saying, look, we saw enough. We forgive us for questioning and doubting. We saw enough. But when we came to the mountain and we heard God's voice, and when we heard him speaking out of the midst of the fire and the cloud and the darkness, that settled it for us. You go talk to God and you come back and tell us what he says, and we're going to hear you, Moses. And not only are we going to hear you, we're going to do whatever you said that God said for us to do. Verse 28, and the Lord heard your word. Moses is repeating this to the people. And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have said well all that they have spoken. So God is saying, okay, I heard them. They were talking to you, but I was listening too. Mm-hmm. And what they spoke, they spoken well. Then verse 29, oh, that they had such a mind and heart in them always reverently to fear me and keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their children forever. So basically God was saying, yeah, they're saying that because they don't want to be in my presence. They don't want to stand the pressure of me talking to them. And what they said was good. What they said was good, but their mind and their heart, is it going to be always have reverence and fear for me? Reverence to fear me, not cower, be afraid, but to be in awe of God. And will they keep my commandments? And if they keep my commandments, it's going to go well with them, and it's going to go well with their children forever. And we know the history of Israel. They didn't do that. Oftentimes, they followed God for a little while, and then they turned to their own devices. They just thought that they could do it. They thought that they had enough experience with God. They thought that they had seen his power manifested in their lives to such a degree that, okay, God, we can take it from here. And sometimes, truth be told, some of us fall into that same position and category. God, I'm thanking you for my deliverance. I'm thanking you for bringing me up out of that horrible pit of sin that you brought me in, and you placed my feet. Yeah, I can think it. He brought me out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock to stay, put a song in my soul today, a song of his praises. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. But up and through here in this period of my life, God, I think I can handle it. I've been to a few Bible studies, and I came to church for a month and a half or so, and I think I got it now. So I'm just going to keep God as a retainer. If I get in trouble, then I know who to turn to. I'll go to the rock that is higher than I. But right now, God, I think I got this. That was maybe, if you allow me to say, the behavior pattern of the children of Israel. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into that same type of behavior pattern. I didn't even tell you what my subject was, huh? Okay. I want to talk about Jesus, the prophet Jesus. The prophet Jesus. Because when you study God's word and you look at God's word, people have thoughts from the principles of God's word and from what God has recorded in his word. A thought hit my mind while we were in worship this morning. In the Old Testament, Jesus is hinted. You know how sometimes when you give somebody a hint, you don't outright tell them the answer, but you just throw a few hints to them, and hopefully if they can understand the hints, then they'll get the message. So in my mind, which constantly needs prayer, y'all know that, Jesus is hinted all throughout the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he's hinted, but in the New Testament, he is presented. So hinted in the Old Testament and presented in the New Testament. No wonder Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but the scriptures, Old Testament, are they which testify of me." So now we go to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, still in Deuteronomy, and Moses is going to say something to the children of Israel, and this is historical for the Jewish people, and it bears for us to pay close attention to this. Here's what he says in Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse number 15 in the Amplified Classic. Moses says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." And you see in the Amplified Classic, there is in parentheses the prophet with the capital P. You see that? "From the midst of your brethren, like me," like Moses, "to him you shall listen." So here's a hint. He said God is going to raise up a prophet, and that capital P means that he is the ultimate prophet. And he gave another hint. He said he's going to come from the midst of your brethren. So he's going to be one. He's going to come from one of the tribes. He has to be an Israelite, right? And he says, "Like me, to him you shall listen." So here Moses is saying, look for the prophet that God is going to raise up. He said, "This is what you desired." Now he's reminding them of what happened. "This is what you desired," in verse 16, "and asked of the Lord your God at Horeb," the mountain, right? "On the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die.'" So he was like saying, y'all remember that? Remember what you said? And God heard what you said. Can I just say, God hears what we think, even if we don't say it. I had to tell on myself in the Bible reading today, and just let me make a commercial for the Bible reading. Read our plan. Join us in our plan, because it was dealing with complaining. It was dealing with complaining and how we complained about God. And I told on myself, in the Bible reading in my comments. And I'll just share with you, because y'all know I tell myself all the time, so y'all can pray for me, right? Good. So I said that I'm so glad that God knows my heart in my mind, because I complain, but I don't do it out loud. Oh, yeah, I complain, but I just don't do it out loud. But aren't you glad that God knows our thoughts afar off? God can hear our thoughts. So I ask God to help me to trust him more. Because whether you complain out loud or complain in your heart, you still complain it, and God hears it. So, yeah, y'all taught me a song, I Won't Complain, but sometimes I do. Oh, thank you. There's some honesty in the room. Sometimes we do complain. Amen. All right, that was a commercial. Let me get back to the message here. Verse 17, and the Lord said to me, they have well said all that they have spoken. Here's what he says in verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet. Here again, you see the capital P in parentheses, from among their brethren like you, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So here's a hint again that this prophet is coming, right? This prophet is none other than Jesus Christ. So here he's hinted in the Old Testament, and the book of Deuteronomy is not the only place where we can find the hints about Jesus, the one who's going to come. But I wanted to deal with these Old Testament passages to point us and remind us that we need to hear everything that Jesus says. So walk with me now to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. John. I'm talking about Jesus the prophet. And we know and realize that he was much more than a prophet, but I want us to see the consistency of God's word. God declared something and he brought it to pass. So we can put our faith and keep our faith and confidence in that whatever God declares, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. So here we are in John chapter number 5. And we're looking at verse number 16, all right? Look what it says here. For this reason, the Jews began to persecute, annoy, torment Jesus, and sought to kill him because he was doing things on the Sabbath day. He told a man, take up your bed and walk. And the Jews was the religious elite of Jesus' day. They were so concerned about keeping the Sabbath, and there was no work to be done on the Sabbath, that they missed the whole purpose of why Jesus came. Verse number 17 says, but Jesus answered them, my Father has worked even until now. He has never ceased working. He is still working, and I too must be at divine work. See, healing and restoration of that man's life is part of the divine work of God, right? And Jesus said, my Father has worked, and he's still working. He never ceased from working, and I have to be about divine work. I must be at divine work. And verse 18 says, this made the Jews more determined than ever to kill him, to do away with him, because he not only was breaking, weakening, violating the Sabbath, but he actually was speaking of God as being in a special sense his own Father, making himself equal, putting himself on a level with God. Oh, that just upset the religious elite. How dare this man, who we know who his parents are, make himself equal with God. Verse number 19 says, so Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way, in his turn. So we understand what Jesus is telling them. Look, I'm doing what I saw my Father do. I'm working his work. Then verse number 20 says, the Father dearly loves his Son and discloses to shows him everything that he himself does. And he will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. Basically, Jesus said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because God is working, and God is my Father. I have a cough coming. I was supposed to catch that in the book. That's it. But anyway, let's continue. He said, just as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, makes them live on, even so the Son also gives life to whomsoever he wills and is pleased to give it. So here Jesus now is fulfilling, he is fulfilling in this portion of his life and ministry what was prophesied about him that Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy, because he said God's going to bring a prophet. He's going to bring a prophet, and he's going to speak the words of God, and you're going to listen to him. So here they are hearing Jesus audibly, but in their heart they're still against Jesus. How many people come to a place like this and they hear a message audibly? They hear it in their ears, but their heart is stopped. Their heart is closed to receive the message of Jesus Christ. And we have to remember what Jesus said in his public ministry. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. He said in another place, I come to give my life a ransom for many. I come to exchange my sinless life for your sinful life. I've come to shed my blood for the remission of sins of the whole human family. And still there are people who will hear with their ears but not with their heart. I'm asking God this morning to open the heart of those that are sitting in our midst. I'm asking God to open the heart to those that may be on our campus, online campus, who have not fully surrendered their heart and their mind and their soul unto God. Because it's recorded in the Old Testament that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. Too many people in today's society have a half-hearted, in my opinion, a half-hearted relationship with God. They hear the gospel message, and they hear that Jesus saves, but there's maybe because of some things that have happened in their life that they have certain trust issues, and they don't want to fully surrender themselves to something that they don't understand. And if you stay in that condition, you will never understand, because the Bible has already declared that the natural man receiveth not the things that are of God. So that means then, with our own natural understanding, we will never understand God. But what God does, he is so kind, he is so gracious, he is so loving, he is so patient, he is so long long-suffering that God sends repentance. God sends faith. God sends the gospel message, because again, we need to be reminded that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So God, being the sovereign God that he is, God being the holy God that he is, God being the God that is truth, the God that cannot lie, the God that changes not, since he declared in the Old Testament time, I'm going to bring a prophet from your brethren, Israel. And when you look at some of the things that he talked about, he detailed it before, oh Lord, before there were GPS. God detailed the city and the town where Jesus would come from. Siri ain't got nothing on God. Amen. God said he's gonna come from this town. He's going to be a son of David. He's going to come from the tribe of Judah. And it happened just like God said it was going to happen. So if anything, it should build our faith in God that whatever God has declared, it's going to come to pass. You just got to wait on God. You just got to wait. You got to believe God. You got to take God at his word. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care whatever is stacked against you or was ever stacked against us collectively. We stand on the word of God. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So if God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. I'd rather stand on the word of God, because God's word surpasses my human thinking. God's word surpasses my human precepts. God's word surpasses anything that man can come up with. So here we see God fulfilling his word in the person of the prophet Jesus the Christ, and much more than the prophet. But I just want to stick to the prophet part of this, because we know he's so much more than that. He cannot even be contained in a human language, because he is that much of a God. He is the great God. He is the only God. There's no God like him, no God with him. Jesus the Christ is God manifested in the flesh. If you want to see God, look straight into the face of Jesus Christ, because we know that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Come here, Philip, remind them of what Jesus said. Jesus said, how long have I been with you, Philip, and you ain't known me yet? He that seen me has seen the Father. Wait a minute. Paul wrote something to the saints at Colossae. He said, in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that means when you see Jesus, you're looking at God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You ain't got to look for two or three. He's one, and he is our great God. He is the prophet that was prophesied in the Old Testament time. He is the prophet that was presented in the New Testament. And I like what he said in 21. Just as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, makes them live on, even so the Son, who is the Son? Jesus, also gives life to whomever he wills and is pleased to give life. That's why he said, I come that you might have life. While we were dead in our trespasses and sins, here comes the prophet, here comes the redeemer, here comes the savior, down through 42 generations, here he comes, And what he declared, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He said the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament, they were pointing to the presentation of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. What the world really needs is what we have. They need Jesus. That's what they need. They don't need Buddha. They need Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. They don't need Muhammad. They need the Messiah. And his name is Jesus. They don't need a Hare Krishna. They need the Holy One. And his name is Jesus. That's what the world needs. But they look at us like we're crazy. They look at us like we don't know what we're talking about. But I declare, we declare what Paul declared. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I will stand with Jesus because he stands with me. Not only does he stand with me, he's standing up right now in me. Oh, glory. Let God arise in you and let his enemies be scattered in the name of the Lord. We got what the world needs. We need to tell them about this prophet, and his name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. If there is another God, he ain't mighty. Glory. Hallelujah. We need to get excited about Jesus again. We need to get excited about being saved. We need to point people to that prophet, and his name is above every name. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. All of us, any of us, can run into it and be saved. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I'm happy about the prophet. Beware. Beware of people coming up to you saying, I'm a prophet. Miss me with that. Brooklyn almost showed up. If you a prophet, you ain't got to announce that you a prophet. Glory. Hallelujah. If you a prophet, whatever you speak, if it don't come to pass, you a lying prophet. And we as the people of God should not fear you. Oh, Lord. Who brought that rabbit in here? Got to chase him for a little while. Because everybody claiming to be a prophet. Lord, help me. Help me. In Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, 19th chapter, go find it, the homework assignment, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Ooh, you didn't know that, did you? Write that down. Find that. Search it out. See if I'm telling you the truth. Amen? I know I am, but I want you to know it for yourself. All right? Let me get back to my scripture. Let me get back. I was rolling good for a minute, but that rabbit came in and had to chase it. All right, let me wind up. I can let y'all go. Y'all ready to go? That was one no. And the silent, overwhelming yes was like, yeah, hurry up. We got to go. okay. We said that Jesus was hinted in the Old Testament and presented in the New. Peter was preaching once. And, no, wait a minute. Let me get John 7. And verse 15, he says, the Jews were astonished. They said, how is it that this man has learning, is so versed in the sacred scriptures and in theology when he has never studied? He's talking about Jesus. How did he learn? He didn't go to our school. How he know all this? Jesus answered in verse 16 by saying, my teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. That's how I know what I know. If any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking from myself and of my own accord and on my own authority. That's why we need to study the Word of God for ourselves. He who speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. Oh, you prophets. He whose teaching originates with himself seeks his own glory. The Lord showed me this. The Lord showed me that. Show me that in the Word. Come on. Don't be deceived. But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him who sent him, he is true. And there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him. You don't have to be the one doing all the talking all the time. Lord, another rabbit done snuck in here. But Peter spoke something in the book of Acts, in Acts 3. I know I got to move quickly. I'm going to try to get you out of here as soon as I can, all right? Okay, good. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. This is Peter speaking now. Thus has God fulfilled what he foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ, the Messiah, should undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer. See, hinted in the Old Testament, presented in the New Testament. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. Peter was saying, y'all need to repent. I'm saying there's people that need to repent. That he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who was before designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, hinted in the old, presented in the new, whom heaven, verse 21, must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. So he's saying all that God prophesied in the Old Testament is going to come to pass. Watch, verse 22. Thus Moses said to the forefathers, here it is, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet. See that? From among your brethren, as he raised up me. Him you shall listen to and understand by hearing and heed in all things whatever he tells you. So Peter's saying the prophet is Jesus. Moses told you he was coming. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul that does not listen to and understand by hearing and heed that prophet shall be utterly exterminated from among the people. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You got to hear him, and you got to heed. Heed means obey. This is what Peter said. Let me show you what Stephen said before he died. Acts 7, verse 37. It was this very Moses, here it is again, who said to the children of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brethren as he raised me up. Stephen was saying this. And you know what happened to Stephen? They killed him. He was stoned, but he held on to the truth. People try to kill us with their words, but we got to hold on to the truth. People try to kill us with their actions, but we got to hold on to the truth. John chapter 7, verse 37. Here Jesus is at the feast, right? If you read the entire chapter, he told his disciples, go ahead to the feast. I'm not going. Y'all go ahead. But then he went up kind of privately. And on the last day of the feast, here's what it says in St. John's chapter number 7, verse 37. Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is calling somebody this morning, whether you're on the online campus or whether you're here in the sanctuary. Watch what he says here. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. You see that? Verse 39. But he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified, raised to honor. Verse 40, listening to those words, some of the multitude said, this is certainly and beyond doubt the prophet. And what he prophesied here has come to pass. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, in one room, and in one accord. While we're in this one place, Lord, help us to get in one accord. Help us to have the mind to believe what Jesus prophesied here in John. He said, he that believeth on me. He said, if anybody's thirsty, any thirsty folks in here, I can't see you because I got my glasses off. But if you're thirsty, he said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Don't come to the pastor, because the pastor ain't Jesus. Come on. We got to get this right. It's not about a personality. It's about Jesus, the prophet. He said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continually, not a drip, not a drop, not a water hose that you can turn off in the back of the yard. Continuously springs and rivers of living water. He was talking about the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet. But guess what? We're living in the day and time when the Holy Ghost has already been given. So if there's any thirsty folks here this morning, you can receive the Holy Ghost. This is what the prophet said. This is what Jesus said. Well, did it come to pass? Yes, it did. On the day of Pentecost, it came to pass. They were in one place, in that upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon one of them. It sat upon some of them. It sat upon each of them. And a few that were sitting in a certain section. A few of them that came early. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Believe the words of the prophet. He prophesied it, and he manifested it on the day of Pentecost. And we have a cloud of witnesses that he manifested it in our very souls. Believe the prophet. I don't know if there was an altar call on the day of Pentecost. Was it? People just believed it and received it. I don't believe when Peter went to Macedonia and he went to Cornelius' house. I don't believe he had time to give an altar call. I believe he was preaching in that 10th chapter of Acts. He was preaching, and while they heard it, while they heard him preaching, down came the Holy Ghost, interrupted the message. I don't know if Peter had more notes or not, but interrupted the message. Down came the Holy Ghost on these Gentiles, and they started speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. So where did the altar call come from? That would be a good research project, ministers. Where did the altar call come from? The same God who filled them in the upper room with the Holy Ghost while they were just praising God. The same God that filled Cornelius and all his house in the 10th chapter of Acts is the same God today. We have to preach Jesus. We have to preach repentance. And when people believe it, boom, down comes the Holy Ghost. Just something to think about. Yeah, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with altar calls, but it doesn't necessarily take an altar call for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. Just believe and receive. I'm gonna stop. I might have upset somebody's apple cart today. Well, get some oranges then. Get some oranges if your apple spilled on the ground. get some tangerines or something. Get some bananas or something. But we have to rightly divide this word. Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Any believers? Any believers?